Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Emanuele Giuseppe Esposito. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat. And today I'm talking about the UKI add-ons and extension, how to safely extend UKIs, kernel command line, and etherd. So why this talk? First of all, because this is extremely new stuff, like it's very new, hopefully also exciting. Because there's not a lot of documentation, of course, because this stuff is it was just merged. And hopefully this talk will also help you understand a little bit more about what they are, how to use these add-ons, and so on. And because they may be very useful, because we can now, UKI, as also Vitaly explained in his talk 1 hour ago, is pretty static on the point of command line and in etherd. And with these add-ons, we can extend it, these two things, without sacrificing the security. And also, yeah, this is an attempt to advertise a little bit to UKI, so what they are, to the more public, to be more recognized. So let's look first at Vitaly's slides. These are from last year, I think. So I will just briefly go through this. So Confidential VM provides data protection for from the host it runs on. So we are protecting the VM from the hypervisor, because it can be malicious and it's privileged, so it can access the VM, and we don't want that. The host is still able to disrupt the execution of the VM, and there are specific hardware, SAV, SMP, and TDX responsible for encrypting memory and CPU. And storage encryption is necessary for security and must be done by the guest OS. This was already explained by Vitaly. And usually the situation that we have is that we usually encrypt, we have the encrypted part, and while the kernel is signed by the vendor, IntramFS and the command line are locally produced, are not signed, and also it's difficult to measure them, of course. Whereas with the UKI, unified kernel image is basically a single binary produced and signed by the vendor, in this case Red Hat. And it's the, it basically contains the important parts, the DRP sections, together with the signature. There is the kernel, the initramfs, and there is also the command line as a separate section that is then fed to the kernel. Before going to the next details, I wanted also to explain the use case, the use case in this case for this talk is that we have the UFI, the firmware, that is in turn calls Shim, the bootloader, which in turn calls systemd stub, which is very key piece for the add-ons and on both the kernel command line and in IntramFS, which in turn unpacks the UKI and gets the kernel and runs the OS. The issue that also Vitaly mentioned is that the kernel line is immutable, and is something that we don't like, because there are limitations, and you cannot have a static command line for every use case that you have. There is crash kernel options, debugging options, and we cannot ship a different UKI for every, basically, use case. So what we are aiming for the UKI kernel command line is, it cannot be static, as I said, because there are different use cases. It has to be secure, so whoever modifies the command line has to be authenticated, otherwise the whole point of confidential computing is lost. And by default, nobody, because the command line is inserted inside the UKI and then is signed, so you cannot modify it anymore. And has to be extensible, of course, because we don't want to ship a new UKI every single time. There are already ways for the one that are no UKIs to extend to add kernel command line to an UKI, but it's a little bit, when we talk about confidential virtual machine, it's a little bit tricky, because as again I'll show you the option, and it's a, you don't trust, you need to trust a lot of parts. So as I said, there is the command line section, it's embedded in UKI. It's generated to, with the UKI, it's secure, it's shipped with the to all together, but it's static. You cannot be modified. Then there is FI shell, which is looked by systemd stub only if the command line section inside the UKI is missing. Many distro, for example, they ship always something in the command line section inside the UKI, so it's ignored. It's useful usually for type 1 entries, but again, it's unsafe because it can, an attacker can easily inject its own parameter through the FI shell. That's why it was, be, it was disabled for CVMs. So you cannot extend the kernel command line with the FI shell. There is SM BIOS, System Management BIOS. In bare metal, this is good. It's trusted because it's coming from firmware and BIOS, but doesn't apply on CVMs. Again, the hypervisor can easily inject kernel command line. So yeah, as I said, it's not good. So it was also, this was disabled. And then there is QEMU firmware configuration. By the name, you can already figure that this is only from QEMU. It's again coming from hypervisor, so also disabled. Then what do we do? Our proposal initially upstream was an allow list. Basically, an allow list is another P section where you use regex, globbing, and whatever, just something like this to parse the command line that you want to get. And the easy case will be if there is something that we don't accept in the regex, we just discard the whole command line. But the command line will come from FI shell, SM BIOS, all these sources, but we try to filter. And systemd stub does the parsing. The advantage is, of course, that we can reject what we don't want, but it will, the problem is just moved to another place, because then you can do attacks on the regex and globbing, because they can need to be very carefully formulated. So also, this was disabled. So it was rejected, actually. And eventually, we have the solution, the systemd solution, UKI add-ons. UKI add-ons is basically another separate binary, which is, contains a few, very few P section. One of these is the command line, and it's signed by, can be signed, but it should be signed for the CVMs. And we take advantage of a shim validate function offered by shim to validate the P signature. So basically this means that systemd stub will ask shim to validate if the binary has been signed by some key that we trust in the secure boot database. There is a very useful tool, UKify, in systemd upstream. It's, you can create UKIs very easily, way better than Dracap and object copy. And you can also create add-ons. And yeah, basically the command line is very easy. You can also provide the keys when you want to sign your own add-on. So it's this is the solution. So how UKI works? The workflow is UKify first you create the add-ons. So you ask UKify to create an add-on with the command line that you want. Then the add-ons, it needs to be put in the specific location in the ESP. I will show you later where exactly is this. Systemd stub looks for this location and finds automatically the add-ons, asks shim, calling shim verify on the add-on to verify the if the add-on is trusted, so it's signed by somebody that we trust. And then if validation is successful, we read the add-on. The systemd reads the add-on and appends the command line inside the add-on to the UKI command line section to extend it. And then it's provided to VM Linux to start Linux with the new command line. There are two kinds of add-ons. There is global and local add-ons. So global add-ons can be applied to all installed UKIs. And this is the location. And UKI specific add-ons, so if you want to apply all these to one specific UKI you have installed, has to be provided in the UKI name, has to be in an extra D folder, in the same location where your UKI is, and then has to be put in there. Just naming convention, because last time I checked, systemd stub was checking for also the extension name and this kind of stuff, so you need to get them right. UKIs are always located in the this part, FI Linux. UKIs always ends with the FI, and the add-ons is .addon.afi. And specific add-ons, yeah, as I said, need to be located in the extra D folder. Okay, so next step is what is BAT, why it's helpful. So suppose that we as a vendor, we shipped an UKI command line add-on and we signed it, and everybody's using it, and then we figured the command line as an issue. Then what do we do? Because we signed it as a vendor, so what it's trusted. First solution, just change the certificate. So, but this is basically impractical. Yeah, good luck with that. It messes up all the measurements, it invalidates all the add-ons. So, second solution, try to create a blacklist on the cloud provider. This is impractical. Third solution, attestation, check if the hash is matching your add-on that you don't like anymore. And the last solution are these SBAT rules. So what is SBAT? It's basically another P section inside the the add-ons, for example, and contains component generation and also other information. But the key part is the component generation tuple, because there is the same tuple, there should be the same tuple inside your shim. That and then we are at component level. So, for example, every Linux PS action should have its own component generation version for the Linux, one for the add-on, and so on. And if the component generation match with what shim has, we accept it. But if the generation for this component of the add-on that is incoming is lower, then we have a mismatch, and even if the add-on is signed by Red Hat or whatever, it will be rejected. And this part is done by Shim when it verifies the add-on and checks the SBAT components and generation. Just an example to clarify this. In this case, we have the Shim has SBAT 1, my add-on version 2, and then the add-on contains the same version for SBAT and my add-on, so it's good, it will be accepted. Of course, it has to be signed by somebody that we trust. In this case, the add-on has the SBAT version is correct, but my add-on component is lower, which means that we don't accept it. Even if it's signed by whoever we trust in the secure boot database, it won't be accepted. One open problem, it's combining add-ons. So if you have two separate add-ons that contain a command line that is safe, but together can create a security issue because they enable something that we don't like, how do we do it? How do we solve this issue? To be honest, as of now, I couldn't come up with a concrete example for this. And one solution will be to use the attestation to see if they are both there. Talking about the systemd sysext initRD add-ons, so systemd sysext already exists. They are already famous, so used. And what is new is that you can also use them for UKI. So for what, if you don't know, is a system system extends an image, extend the base system with an overlay containing additional files, so you can extend base system. And you can use this system. This tab provides also the possibility to use this to extend the initRD inside the UKI. More or less, it's the same concept as the common line add-ons, so you just use different tools because they are different things. There are no P binary with P files sections, so they are system extension images, and Micosi is used instead the UKify, but the path, for example, where to put it is the same. The workflow is more or less again the same. Create a system sysx extension. You put it inside the extraD folder. It must be a raw file. And then this is the only difference. System this tab will take the initRD, the add-on, and will put it inside the initRD extra sysx folder where the sysx extension will then load it and apply it to the initRD. Who uses this, can use these add-ons? The use case are various. There are three groups of users that can use this. The vendors, for example, Red Hat, they want to ship, we want to debug kernel and UKI, and we ship our add-on. And there could be the virt host admins that can use host-side tools like virt firmware or whatever to modify these kind of variables, more or less the same use case. And the guest admins can add can use guest-side tools like mock to insert the key in secure boot. Even though this is a little bit tricky for in the cloud because on Azure it's basically impossible to add a key in mock, because when it reboots, you cannot connect via, when you connect with the shell, you skip the mock reboot section when they ask you to confirm your key. Available tools. There is systemd has a lot of tools. UKify is the main one. In different version, it supported gradually first how to build and then how to inspect them. And then there is also, I sent a PR to extend bootctl to find add-ons and display already as a preview what will be the kernel command, the full command line. So if there is systemd maintainers, right? And there is Micosi to create a systemd sysx image. And then we have UKI Direct for Fedora. There is kernel boot config. You can add, update, and remove UKIs. And also added kernel add-on, which does the same thing for UKI add-ons. And future work, what are we planning to do next? Maybe an RPM. So the vendor ships an RPM with a collection of add-ons, generic add-ons that we want to ship signed by the vendor. But of course, we don't want to pollute the ESP with the add-ons that the user doesn't need. So there was agreement also upstream to find these two locations, user lib Linux extraD for global, and the other one for UKI specific add-ons, where the RPM should install these add-ons. And then when the user needs them, can simply use kernel add-on or just copy the add-on that, for example, we as a kernel developer ask for debugging the UKI to copy it in the ESP, reboot, and it will be there. On the cloud, if they want to allow the user to upload their own UKI add-ons, they need to be a way to inject the owner certificate. Otherwise, you cannot do it. There is a little bit an issue with the measurement because when you add the user certificate has to be measured in PSCR 7 especially. And the solution we found is to simply add a dummy add-on before performing attestation, so the certificate is part of the in the keyring, so it will be a test, is measured. On-prem, more or less the same things. So, for us, Libvirt, we want to offer the same possibility to upload the certificate for secure boot. And and there is already a way to add the dummy add-on. So that's it from my talk. If you have any question, I'm here outside. Thank you.
Actually, we have some questions to take now.
Yes, please.
So, have any way to just only rely on the DB and DBX mechanisms that are readily available in the unified secure boot? Just do that. Simplify the whole of your players to make things simpler. And currently, you're just re-adding all of the blows that we had in the past, and eventually, you end up the same stuff. So, keep the focus on simplifying. That would be amazing. Second comment is on all of the add-ons. In a normal, typical unified secure boot world, that makes a lot of sense. In a way, right? Because you can trust the UEFI secure boot mechanism. Whereas in a confidential computer environment, you cannot, today at least. I'm not aware of any stack right now that gives you a trustworthy UEFI secure boot environment. That means you need another mechanism to do that measurement for a confidential computer environment. And the most natural path for that is to use the launch digests, like the launch measurement.
Okay.
So, because you have the launch measurements, that means you need to know ahead of time, like basically when you boot the VM in a way, whatever that magical way is, in a way, at boot time, already all of the data that you need to launch that VM, which means, or to boot the kernel, which means you need to have the UPI readily available, including all the add-ons. At which point we're going full circle, and I think we're much better off just building a separate UPI for that one separate configuration you're doing, so you can attest that I'm actually running exactly this one configuration. You don't want your debug add-on in your production fleet. That actually is everything you want to prevent explicitly. So I think the mechanism that is the most natural one here is to go and build a separate one-off UPI, even made of add-ons if you want to, right? You can do that out of band.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that.
It gets a lot more useful, and basically, we just need to add firmware loading to UPIs, and then you can basically confine your full environment, your whole VM in a single binary, have that measure, and you know exactly what you're running.
Okay. Thank you.
Any questions?
Did you question?
Thank you, bye. We know how it ends. Like, there's the...
Guys, you are more than welcome to present next year if you want. You are more than welcome to present next year. I'll come here.
Okay, let's turn off.